Hey, good to see everyone. My name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's just an honor to have you with us today, just to be part of this with us. If you didn't get it so far, our goal, there's lots of little pieces that happen around here. Our goal is always going to be to together, as a bunch of people who can't figure everything out, who don't know all the answers, to together to look towards Jesus and just see who he is and allow his spirit to move in our lives. And so if you're new here, he is just as accessible to you as he is to me, if you just allow him. So anyways, welcome here. We're glad that you're part of this with us. We've been walking through a series called New for the last, this is the third week that we've been walking through this series and just looking at the idea of how Christianity, how faith, how religion after post-Jesus death and resurrection looked so different from before. That Jesus came to the earth and before it, everything looked one way. After him, everything looked a different way. That God was God to the Israelites. He was God above us, God mighty, God in power, God to in strength, and he was God untouchable in some ways. He was God as a pillar of fire, as a pillar of smoke, as this mighty one. And so the Israelites saw him as God above and did follow him and did walk with him and had all this sacrificial system to keep in the good books with God. But he was God above, then Jesus showed up. And Jesus became God beside. God, Jesus said, I am God, I am the Father, he and I are one. He walked beside his disciples and the people, and all of a sudden God went from being God above to God beside. Now I get to actually walk alongside of God, see what he does, see how he acts, see how he reacts, see what he looks like in these situations. But then he died, and he rose from the dead. And he said to his disciples, I'm actually going to leave you now. I've died, I've risen from the dead, now I'm going to leave you. But me leaving means that the Spirit can come to you. The Spirit of God was going to show up. The Holy Spirit was going to show up. And then it wasn't going to be about God above or God beside, but God within and working through. And that was a new thing. That was a new concept. That was a new understanding. And so we've been looking for the last few weeks at what did that change? What happened for the church? What happened for the followers? What happened in culture and what was going on around? The first week we said it changed. There was a new road to righteousness. That it was the Holy Spirit was going to teach us about righteousness in a different way than the world had taught us and then our past had taught us. And we talked about how there was a new power that was partnered with a new patience. So the power was promised. There was this promise of power to be clothed on us, but we had to learn to wait. That the first thing that Jesus taught his disciples to do was, I want you to wait. And the gift that God wants to give you, the Holy Spirit is going to come and meet you, but you just need to learn to wait and don't rush ahead of it. This week, we said new road to righteousness, new power and new patience. This week, I want to talk to you about the new you. The new you that comes when the Holy Spirit comes and meets your life and comes and transforms you and takes your life over. Last year, we got our daughter Isabella a new bike, and I know I talked about bikes last week, but it's just, I mean, it's summer, the sun is shining, it's just going to happen. So, anyways, we got her a bike. She had this little cute pink. It was called Cream Soda. Actually, was her first bike, which was awesome. Like it just I don't know. It was what an experience. That name is just an experience in itself. But anyways, it had the tassels. It was pink. It had the white tire. And it was all awesome. It didn't have the bell or the basket, which was a major parent fail, but it was still a sweet little ride, and it just had one gear, right? And so fast or slow, climbing a mountain, going down a mountain, whatever it looked like, it was just the one gear, away she goes, and she just had to know how to hold on to the handlebars, stay up, and push the pedals, and she could ride all she wanted. Well, we thought, you know what, we got to get her a new bike with some gears so that she can take on some hills, that she can speed up and get moving. And so we got her this bike, and she jumps on it, and she just wants to ride it like the old bike, right? She gets on the thing and puts it in the lowest gear, one, and starts going. It feels good, and then soon her pedals go, and the tires go just going like this, right? It's not if you only stay in one gear when you've got a multiple geared bike, you're going to be just spinning your tires. You're not going to go anywhere as fast as you want. So we'd be like, change gears. And she's like, oh, I don't know how. I don't want to. And so we're like, okay, well, just come on back. Why don't we start you in like third or fourth gear? Maybe that's more like your old bike. And so then she'd start like trying to start it off and get going. And then still, once she gets going too fast, it's like, and it's not moving the bike forward at all. Eventually, she comes back. She's like, you know, I think I'll just take the cream soda out. You know, I'll take the old bike out, and this one's not working properly. We're like, no, you have to change the way you ride it. It's a different kind of bike. It can actually take you further, faster. You can actually, it can be easier when in the easy times, or when you're going up a hill, it can be harder so they can go faster even when you're going down a hill. This is what you want. You just need to learn how to ride it. And I think sometimes our faith is similar to that we turn to Jesus, we welcome Jesus into our life, we dedicate our lives to him, we repent and we give our lives over to him. The Holy Spirit comes and makes us new, that we become entirely new. Everything is new within us. And it's like that new bike is given to us. Now we need to learn to ride in a different way. Now we need to learn to do things differently. That sometimes what happens is we make a decision for Jesus, and it's like that new bike, but we have all these old ways of riding. That we try to put in our religious systems into this new bike. We try to put in our own desires and our own passions into this bike. And this bike saying, no, you can go fast. You just have to jump on and learn to ride it in a different way. But we try to put all of our old structure, our old ideas, our old thought of what our life should look like or Christianity should look like. And we try to ride this new life that Jesus gives us in an old way. Ephesians 4:22-24 says this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. It means it actually had to go. We shouldn't have kept hanging the cream soda in the garage. My daughter's old bike. We shouldn't have kept it in the garage and let her see it. And, oh, maybe I should just take that one. It's that Christianity is a new way of living. It's a whole new being. It's a whole new everything. That when God meets you, everything shifts. Everything changes. You become new. And yet you have this tendency to go to the comfortable. It's more comfortable if I do it that way or this way. Why don't I do it that? And Paul is saying, you need to put that old way off. You need to fight to just remove that from your mentality, your thought process. Says, put it off because it's being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And he says, but you need to be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, the new you. Put on the new self. You need to have that for you. I was at a conference recently, and the speaker at that place, he talked about this idea. He said, you know what? I love when business people become pastors. I love when they've lived their life this way for so long. They've loved the structures and the systems and the money, the finances. They've loved working with people and doing all of that. And eventually they recognize, you know what, it's not about all that. I'm actually gonna step into ministry. I'm gonna become a pastor. He said, I love when business people become pastors. He said, but I hate when business people become pastors and try to run the church like the business. Or we sometimes just want to keep that old bike going. Well, I know how to do Christianity because I knew how to do business, or I knew how to do Christianity because I've learned a lot, I've experienced a lot, I've grown a lot in some of these areas. I can offer my all of this stuff to Christianity. And Jesus says, no, no, no. When you become new, you're entirely new. This is no longer about, don't worry, I have some things to offer to Christianity, Jesus. It's about walking with the Holy Spirit and learning a whole new way of life that is simply obedience to Jesus. Simply hearing him, listening to him, following his ways. When God speaks, you'll hear it when you walk by the Spirit. That's a good one, folks. When God speaks, you'll hear it when you walk by the Spirit. You'll hear him. Just learning to walk. Last week we talked about waiting. This week we're talking about walking. Galatians 5:16-26 says this: so I say, this is Paul again, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Sometimes we think, like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Good, I'm walking by the Spirit. That's not true. Christian says you've got a new life. Walking by the Spirit means you know how to live it. You're learning how to walk out that life that God has given you. He's gifted you with a whole fresh start. He's gifted you with a whole new creation in yourself. And he's saying, now I want to teach you how to walk in it. But he says, walk by the Spirit. You know, I'm a preacher, And sometimes I try to put words together to help you remember. And if I was Paul, I think a good connection point would be to sprint by the Spirit. Don't you think? That would sound way better than walk by the Spirit. Doesn't rhyme, not to say no alliteration. Like, I'd say sprint by the Spirit, but Paul, I think, is intentionally saying, I don't want you to sprint. I don't want you to stop. I want you to think about moving, but at the pace that is the Spirit's pace. Walking. I don't know if you've ever gone for a nice walk and your head is just cleared, where all of a sudden you have new perspective, you can think in a new way. The things that you thought you needed to solve right away, you don't need to solve all of a sudden. The things that felt so overwhelming and big, they don't seem so overwhelming and big because I've just paced my life a little bit. The Holy Spirit wants to create a pace for you that you can walk with Him. Walk alongside Him. Go with Him. Hear about Him. It's not standing still and doing nothing, but it's also not trying to get going. It's just walk with me. Paul says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul puts spirit and flesh against each other. He says, the old way is flesh. Flesh is living for everything that you want. Flesh is desiring whatever the common thing is, to desire money or to desire making a difference or to desire whatever it might be. That's the hunger of the flesh, desire feeling like you can make an impact. My flesh says all of this needs to be sorted out before I can be happy. He says, I don't want you to walk in the flesh. I want you to walk in the Spirit. He says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. And then I love this piece of scripture. It says, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Isn't that good news? You're not going to read that in the newspaper or on TV. You're not going to hear that in the regular culture right now. Social media is not going to blitz that to you. You're not going to be cruising along and say, don't do whatever you want. Like, you're not going to see that from places other than the Bible. In fact, maybe social media does need to say that a bit more. And so feel free to Instagram that or tweet that today or whatever, Facebook it is, whatever you want to do. But I love that Paul comes to that. He says, the greatest thing you need to recognize if you want to live a life by the Spirit, if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to live the new life in the new way, if you want to experience the new you in the way it was supposed to be experienced, you're going to have to learn that you are not to do whatever you want. That's a huge revelation to me. I was reading that this week. I'm like, the Bible says that. Like, I often think that and wish I could say it to people. The Bible says it. Paul says it. You are not to do whatever you want. That's shocking. You know, I just want to sit there for a second. That's shocking for some of us. Because we think Christianity is about the power to get whatever we want. Sometimes we think Christianity is just doing whatever we want still, but with Christianity backing me, with the power of God behind me, now I get to do whatever I want with the power of God. No, he says it's not about doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. You know, many of you have heard about the fruit of the Spirit. There's several fruit that the Bible talks about here. And I thought, as a preacher, sometimes I'm reading through scripture, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take that idea and expand on it, and this idea, expand on it. I take one chunk of scripture, and I can blow it up and turn it into a whole series and take everyone. And so the fruit of the Spirit, I was sort of thinking that could be a whole series in itself. I could talk about all of the fruit, and that would be amazing. But I feel like God doesn't want me to talk about all of the fruit. He wants me to talk about the Spirit who gives all of the fruit. The Spirit with whom the fruit is produced. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The new bike says that there's a spirit, that you can follow the spirit and learn to go gear up when it's time to gear up, gear down when it's time to gear down, move at the pace that the spirit is moving. And for faith, that may look different for you. Some of you are incredibly impatient, but very gentle. Some of you are very kind, but not self-controlled. And you say, well, I just need to be better at all of these fruit. And that's the old bike model. The old bike model says, I just better get better at this. I better learn what fruit I need to be. I'm not good at being patient, so I better just be patient. I'm not good at being kind, so I better just start to be kind. I'm not good at being gentle, so I better just start being gentle. And we try, and we fail. And we try again, and we fail again. Like, well, I'm just going to be self-controlled this week, and so I'm going to be so self-controlled. Self-control is a crazy thing that we even read about, because in this understanding, the fruit is self-control. The power is the spirit. Sometimes we think self-control comes from us, but in a Christian understanding, self-control comes from the Spirit of God. That when the Holy Spirit fills you and empowers you, you can be self-controlled. And it'll be something that naturally flows out. Most trees aren't growing like, okay, which fruit should I grow this year? Plums, apples, pecans. Do they grow on trees? I don't know. Which one should I do this year? No, the tree is just the tree. See, Jesus didn't come and the Spirit didn't come to give us new fruit. They came to show us that we can become new trees, fully new trees. The new bike says, that's not your fruit to produce anymore. I have a whole new way of living for you. I have a whole new understanding of faith. I have a whole new understanding of Christianity. I have a whole new understanding of life. And it comes from you just abiding in the Spirit of God. For me, that's really good news. Because it means I don't have to fake it. Often Christianity within the old bike model is us just becoming more and more fake to make it look like we have fruit in our lives. Look how patient I am. You're yelling at me and I'm smiling. And when I go home, wait until my wife hears about this. Look how gentle I am. I'm being quieter than I was before. See? Until I get on the basketball court. And then the fruit seems to go out the door, you know. Because we can only fake it for certain periods of time. Look how self-controlled I am this minute. And it's so far, it's so good. And I'm not doing the things I'm doing. I'm so self-controlled until I'm really frustrated, or until I'm really tired, or until I'm with those people, or until I'm with this. And so all of a sudden you realize the self-control you built was built on you and your strength. And that wasn't actually a spiritual fruit. It was a fake fruit. It was the fruit that I can produce, not the fruit that the Spirit can produce in you. The Spirit is always strong enough to produce the fruit in your life. We try to build our own fruit. We try to create our own and hope that it's going to work out somehow. Sometimes I think the greatest thing that keeps us from an authentic Christian faith is our idea of what it should look like. This is what should happen. If I'm going to be a Christian, this is the peach that should show up in my life. And this is the apple that should show up in my life. If I'm going to be a Christian, I better learn to be patient, and then I can be a Christian. I better learn to be self-controlled, and then I can be a Christian. I better learn to be good, and then I can be a Christian. I better do all those things, and then maybe the Spirit of God will move in me. No, those are natural outflowings that will come from the Spirit of God in your life. If you want to be a true Christian, you need to authentically recognize that those fruit are unattainable on your own power, and start to have a relationship with the Spirit of God that will naturally make those things burst from your life. They'll just flow out of you. They'll just come to you. You'll be kind. Wouldn't it be nice if you were kind? Me too. You know, honestly, wouldn't it be great if that was just the natural flow that was happening in you? You didn't have to work for patience. I'm going to try to be patient, and it's hurting my teeth because I'm grinding them so hard. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if self-control wasn't something that you had to just figure out all the time and do all this, but instead you had such a relationship with the Spirit of God, the self-control was just boop, showing up in your life. Boop. Just happens. If a tree in my backyard, if a tree is old enough and healthy and has good soil and sun and water, it doesn't have to think about producing fruits. It just does what it's supposed to do. The Spirit of God will make that happen in your life if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, teach you, shape you, grow you. Worship team, you can come on up. When God speaks, you'll hear it when you walk by the Spirit. You know, last week we talked waiting. This week we're talking walking. That the new you comes, the new work that God wants to do, the new church comes when we learn to wait on the Holy Spirit. And then when we learn to walk by the Holy Spirit, His pace, His rate for us, His timing, the speed that He wants us to walk, that when we learn to walk that way, we see the Holy Spirit move in new ways in our lives. I feel like it. What it looks like is this. For instance, right now, most of you know that two of our pastors in this church are going to be stepping out of the roles that they're in. And for me, that is a massive thing. It's 40% of our full-time pastoral staff. You know, I'm thinking about, what am I going to do? And quickly, I can start to think of all the solutions. And the old bike would say, figure it out. Solve that problem. Get her done. You know, like get the situation figured. Get someone in. Put it, like, make it happen. Solve all the problems. You don't want to be carrying all that weight yourself. You don't want to have that burden all by yourself. You better get everything sorted out. The new bike says, I'm going to gear down for a moment. I'm going to listen. I'm going to wait and see what you maybe have in store, God. Are you doing this for a purpose? Is there something that needs to shift in this church? Is there a new perspective that we're meant to have before you? Are we meant to see something here that we're not seeing in our current structure? Are we meant to shuffle things up? What do you want to do, Holy Spirit? This is walking in the Spirit. For me, it's also, you know, I've preached enough sermons in my life that I could open the Bible and pretty much put together a sermon. But I love, my favorite thing is, so I love when at the end of a sermon, someone comes to me and says, that was for me. Who told you? Like, what happened? Why are you telling everyone that? As if I was talking about them or something. I love that because that's the Holy Spirit moving. That's not me moving. That's the Holy Spirit seeing your story, putting a message in my head and my heart for that story and allowing it to just spill out to you. That's walking by the Spirit. I could give a million sermons that would fall on deaf ears and just be dead and mean nothing to you. But when the Holy Spirit moves and I'm willing to walk in the Holy Spirit, things will shift and all of a sudden it will be for you. You'll have it because the Holy Spirit wants you to have it. For you, it might look totally different. The amazing thing is that all of us we're all going to produce those fruit. That's always going to be a work of the Holy Spirit. We're all going to become more patient, kind, good, self-controlled. All of those things, we are going to become those things by the Spirit of God. Everything else about Christianity, everything else about your life is going to look completely different than my life and every other person's life in this room. You know, some people are going to know when they're walking with the Spirit of God. Some people are going to leave their jobs, leave their leave their businesses, leave the empires they've built, and they're going to give all those up and start serving the local church at a way less salary. And yet some people, the same Spirit of God is going to call them from ministry, from serving the local church, and call them to build businesses and go break into that world. I have no idea what your life is supposed to look like. But walking by the Spirit of God says, I will for sure become more patient, more kind. I'll for sure have more joy in my life. I will for sure love. I'll become more faithful. I will be more good. I'll be more gentle, and certainly I'll be more self-controlled. Beyond that, I'll just walk in pace with the Spirit of God. Paul carries on and says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the old self. They've let it die with Jesus, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I walk with my kids sometimes. And sometimes my kids, today Hardy came up to me while I was worshiping and he looked up at me. This isn't connected, but it was just sweet. He looked up at me, it was just like this like cute, goofy little smile on his face. And I picked him up, I said, "What is it, buddy?" He goes, "I love you." Sometimes, now back to what we're actually talking about. Sometimes when we're walking down the road like this, he'll want me to pick him up again and he'll spin in front of me. And like we're walking and carrying on, he'll just spin in front of me and I'm like tripping over him. I'm like, "What are you doing?" And I'm stepping on his feet and they're like, "I want mommy, you step on my feet." You know, like, "What are you doing to me?" I'm like, "You just ran right in front of me." And sometimes we're doing that with the Holy Spirit. We're trying to rush things along. He's holding our hand like, "Walk with me." We heard this, "Walk with me. Put off your old self. Walk with me. Walk in pace with me." And we're like, "No, I can't. I'm just going to spin around you and do all this stuff. And we're just going to get all dizzy and stuff." Or he goes, "Walk with me." You're like, "No, I don't want to go there." And you're also spinning around. And who knows? It's just a mess. And you're dizzy. And it's not comfortable. You're tripping over each other. And the Holy Spirit doesn't feel like a good fit for you anymore. And he says, "Just walk with me." Where will tomorrow lead? I don't know. We won't know until we're there together. You just need to know if you can trust me or not today. And if you can trust me today, then let's walk together tomorrow. Let's keep walking together. So, you just close your eyes for a moment. I just want to ask you a few questions. Today, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands. So take that pressure off. Just allow your heart to be free with the Lord. We want to continue to practice this idea of waiting. Because when God speaks, you'll hear it when you walk by the Spirit. So are you living a life for yourself with some Christianity sprinkled on top? I just want you to allow your heart to think about that. You don't have to respond to me at all. Just think about that. Are you walking by the Spirit, or are you continually just living your life for yourself and trying to sprinkle a little Christianity on top? Sprinkle a little patience on top. Sprinkle a little joy on top. It's exhausting trying to pretend that you're joyful when you're not feeling the joy welling out of the Spirit of God in you. Are you waiting on the Spirit to move in your life? Are you outpacing the Spirit? Trying to pull the Spirit to come and move in lives that you're in ways in your life that you wish the Spirit was moving. Come and fix my problem. Hurry up. Get up here. Get up to where I am. Solve where I'm at. Are you trying to outpace the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you trying to hold back the Holy Spirit in your life? Some of you, there's some prompts from the Holy Spirit. It might be to host an intern. It might be to give. It might be a job change. It might be to reconcile a relationship. And the Holy Spirit is prompting you that way. And sometimes we hold back and say, no, that's not for me. And the Holy Spirit is saying, walk with me. Walk with me. Are you holding back? Or have you been focusing on the fruit rather than the Spirit that produces them? Jesus didn't come to give you fruit in your life. He came to give you a new tree, make a new tree out of you that would be filled with the Spirit, filled with life, overflowing with goodness. Where's your focus? I just want to pray for you. Yeah, Lord, thank you that you're so good. God, thank you that you remove that pressure from us to become patient, kind, joyful, loving, faithful, self-controlled, good. Thank you that you remove that pressure from us, Lord. It's not that you don't want that for us. It's that we can't achieve it on our own. Jesus, thank you that instead you gave us the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that when we abide with him, when we walk with him, when we wait on him, allow him to direct our steps and follow his promptings, that when we do that, we will start to see patience burst out into fruit in our lives. We'll start to see self-control just happen for us by the Spirit of God. Jesus, I just pray that you'd help us to walk in obedience to you. Give us time to wait and a willingness to walk, that the Spirit might speak and we might walk with him. Holy Spirit, would you just prompt hearts this morning? Would you just stir hearts this morning to walk with you? To put away the old bike where they had to work for every fruit that came up in their life, where they had to work for everything to make themselves happy, where they had to accomplish everything, where they had to do it. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just come and show them a new way? Draw each of us into a new relationship that we can recognize that new bike, that new life. Teach us how to ride it in a new way. Teach us how to wait. Teach us how to walk. Teach us how to trust. Teach us how to obey. And would you lead us into such an amazing diversity of incredible opportunities where your gospel will go forth from here all over the world. Teach us. Lord, thank you for the calling you're placing in our lives. We love you, Jesus. You are good to us. You're kind. Thank you for your goodness, first of all. Let your Spirit just mark us and fill us, so that we might see fruit produced in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Well, it's good news, everybody. You can produce fruit, but not through you, through him. So go ahead and learn to walk by the Spirit. Sit with him. Take time. Listen. Pray. Welcome the Spirit to move in your lives. And if you hear some things, follow that and watch how fruit starts being produced and showing up. It's going to be an amazing thing. We love you. Have a really great week. Next week, we're going to talk about gifts that the Spirit gave. So let's talk about that next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.